Have you ever had a moment where you or someone else in the room has been on the phone with another person, and you're there sitting and you can only hear what they're saying, but yet you're trying to interject into the conversation too? Anybody else ever do that? I know I do that probably way too often with my wife. You know, I'm there and I'm trying to fill in the blanks, and I give my thoughts, and she's just there shaking her head like, stop. You have no idea what's going on. You know, most of the time when she gets off the phone, she's like, what were you talking about? Because the conversation I had nothing to do with what you were saying. Or maybe you're like me and you like to go to a coffee shop and you sit there and all of a sudden you see a person next to you just kind of glancing your way because you're having a conversation and whatever you're saying is piquing their interest, and so they just keep looking and looking. But it's weird if you acknowledge that they're looking at you and kind of listening in. Or maybe you're the person that's listening in because you heard something. You know, as we read this letter to the Colossians, that's kind of what it can feel like. That we're eavesdropping on their conversation with Paul and Timothy. Because we only have one side of the story. You know, unfortunately for us, we only get their side. We don't later hear back from the Colossians. But what's amazing is through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can gain wisdom from what Paul is saying here. And we can, like all of those who teach English, you're going to be very happy. We can use context clues to figure out what is happening in the church there. So we can kind of get a picture of what the story is. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something with me. I'm going to ask for you to use your imagination. That may be something we haven't done in a while. My son is not of the age yet where we get to play pretend together. And so I've been out of practice for a bit. But this morning, I would love for you to imagine with me that we're the church in Colossae. And that we're receiving this letter. And together, we're gathered to read it. More than likely, we're going to be sitting in somebody's house with one another. And maybe there's food, like my favorite chocolate chip cookies. I'm just going to burst the bubble now. There are no chocolate chip cookies here this morning. I'm so sorry. I didn't have time to bake them. Actually, Andrea didn't have time to bake them for us this morning. But we just received this letter. And we're gathered maybe in excitement because Paul has something to say to us and we can't wait for what he's going to tell us. Or maybe we're nervous because we don't know what Paul is going to tell us. Maybe we need correction or maybe we don't know yet. More likely than not, we haven't met Paul, but we've probably heard a few things about Paul. Maybe we've only heard the bad parts of his story, like how he was the one who led the charge against many early Christ followers, and how he had them beaten, how he had them arrested, thrown into prison, and even maybe killed. Or we heard that he had an encounter with Jesus, and now his life has drastically changed. How he went from persecuting people like us, Christ followers, to joining the charge, to encouraging us, teaching us, and guiding us. And so this letter, as we're gathered together, this letter starts with him being thankful for us and encouraging us, the church, to hold on to hope. And that because of our hope in Jesus, we can endure all the hardships that we may face. We're given patience and strength and wisdom all because of Jesus. And then Paul reminds us that we're not alone in the journey, but Jesus is with us, and we can rely on him for all that we need. Why? Well, then he tells us who Jesus is and why we can rely on him for all that we do need. Because Jesus is all-powerful, Jesus is all-sufficient, he's supreme, and Jesus is, in fact, God himself. If you were with us last week, we just talked about that. And it's because of who Jesus is, we can stand firm. It's not on our own power, but it's all because of Jesus. And then we're told why. Why it's necessary for us to stand firm. And it's simply because suffering will come. We know that life doesn't get easy as soon as we follow Jesus. That's just a fact. And actually, when we look at Paul and we hear in this letter what we're about to read together, he says it about his own life and where he's at currently. So these are his words. He says, "I'm glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I'm participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you." So we, the church, were just told about how great Jesus is and how we should be encouraged. And then Paul tells us that he's suffering for participating in the mission of Jesus. He tells us the very reason he's suffering is because he's doing what Jesus told him to do, which is to go and make disciples. That's the same mission you and I have, is to go and make disciples. But yet Paul is suffering for it. This letter doesn't feel very encouraging anymore. What's interesting is Paul says he's glad, though, even in his suffering. Some translations read, they add the word, "Now I am glad when I suffer," at the beginning of that verse. If you listen to those words, "Now I'm glad when I suffer," Paul doesn't say that he's glad when the suffering is over, even though I'm sure that's really true. He doesn't say that he's glad when he's going to be through it, speaking in the future tense there. But he says that now, currently, in the middle of everything that he's going through, in the very middle of his current situation, suffering, he's glad. Paul is telling us, the church, he's saying to us that we can hold on to the hope we have in Jesus, and we can endure all of the suffering that life gives us, because he's doing it himself right now. He's practicing everything that he's preaching. And he's saying that you can hold on to hope in Jesus, that we can stand firm, and we can keep moving forward because the message of Jesus is way too important to get stuck where we are. And he tells us the hope that Jesus provides is more than enough for us to endure. He's saying the message of Jesus matters more than the suffering we may face. It's too compelling, and others need to know it too. And so then what is the message that Paul wants us to get out? What is this very message that is worth the suffering and that needs to keep being shared going forward? It's the message that God's desire for us, God's desire is for us to know Christ. Woo. And that has always been the case. God's desire is for us to know Christ. Here are his words in Colossians 1, 26 through 27. It says, "The message was kept secret for centuries, in generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret, that Christ lives in you. And this gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So this big secret, the very message is that God wants us all to know Christ. Even more than that, though, it's not just about knowing Christ, but it's that Christ lives in you. That's the secret. Paul is saying that the secret is a oneness with Christ. It's an indwelling, an intimate relationship with Jesus. That we get to have a relationship with Jesus and God himself. God desires for us to know Christ and to know him in a deep and intimate way. You know, just like God was with the Israelites, we know that's true. We see it evidenced in the tabernacle, and we see it evidenced in the cloud and the pillar of fire, how God was there in the Holy of Holies in the temple. Most of us, when we're imagining as the church, we've heard this story in the history of the Israelites, how God was with them. And now, from Paul, he tells us that God wants to be with us too. He's saying, we've been chosen. We've been adopted into the family, and God loves us just as much as he loves the Israelite people. He's saying all of us get to share in the inheritance of what it means to be a child of God. Regardless of our lineage, regardless of our sin or our status, Christ lives in us. He wants to live in us. And he doesn't just want to save us, he wants to know us. And that's always been the plan. And that is what gives us hope. That Jesus lives in us and he wants to be there. He wants to know us and he desires for us to know him too. I'm thankful that right now in our church, we're going through a time of 40 days of prayer. And we may be working through the book of Colossians and Philemon that we've produced for you. This is a way for us to know God more. When we spend time with him in prayer, when we set aside things that may distract us during our day, and we say, Jesus, I'm going to be intentional about spending time with you, it allows us the opportunity to get to know God more. And then Paul continues on in the letter, and he says, this is what you do now. This is what we do. He says, so we tell others about Christ. We're warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom that God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship with Christ. Our desire should be for others to know about God's love and to be in a relationship with Jesus too. See, hope compels us to share. The hope that we have should compel us now to share, to tell others about Christ. And Paul says not just a chosen few people we're meant to tell, but he just says tell others. He doesn't specify who. And he's saying all of us should be so captivated by Jesus that we can't help but share who he is and what he's done for us. He actually gives us a threefold approach to sharing the gospel of Jesus. And the first thing he says is we tell. It's simple, we tell. And the word here that he uses for tell means to proclaim, to declare, to teach, to make known, or to get the word out widely. For us, it simply means we enter into a conversation with people. And we say, this is who Jesus is, this is what Jesus has done, and this is how you can get to know him. We tell others, we make it known that his love is for everyone. And as Paul shared earlier in the letter, there's nobody who is too far for Jesus to reach. The next thing we do that Paul says is that we warn others. And warning is the idea of instructing, correcting, and admonishing. It's not just telling someone that they're wrong or warning of the bad consequences, but it also includes showing the path out or the way forward. This involves the messiness of grace. And it means that we need to have a heart that is willing to share truth in a loving and a non-condemning way to others. When we warn people, we're not trying to beat them up. But when we warn people, we say, I love you and I care about you enough to let you know that Jesus offers you forgiveness. And here's how we move forward together. The last thing he says is that we teach. When we teach, it seems pretty obvious, but in Greek, it actually has this connotation that it's this ongoing role of teaching, that teaching never stops. What that means is that we disciple other people. It means that we mentor other people. It means we walk alongside of others, showing them what it means to live like Jesus. When we teach people, it involves an investment of our time, of our energy. But it's a great investment. And sometimes I know that sharing the gospel, sharing the good news, sharing of this secret that Paul says, sharing this desire that God has for all of us to know Jesus, it can feel almost impossible. It can feel this like this daunting task. But I can tell you it doesn't have to be. Simply because God has given us all the wisdom that we need. He gives it to us all through the power of His Holy Spirit. He gives us the wisdom we need to tell others, to warn others, and to teach others. In verse 29, Paul actually tells us that he is depending on the strength of Jesus, which is at work in him, in order to do what he is doing currently in this situation. Jesus gave us all the mission to go and make disciples of all nations in Matthew 28. When you think of it, these are Jesus' very last words on this earth. His last words, the moment before he ascends into heaven, Jesus says, all the authority is given to me. And he decides in that moment to say, here is your mission. Here is your purpose. Go and make disciples. Paul echoes that mission here. He says, so this is what we do. Because we have the hope of Jesus, we then tell others about Jesus. Our church, Grace Point, we share that very same mission, that we exist to share the real hope of Jesus. Simply because the mission matters. And our hope is what compels us to share in this mission. It enables us to move forward. Even in suffering, even when it gets hard, we can still move forward because people need to know the life-changing love and grace of Jesus Christ. This letter is filled with good news to our church. And the good news continues as Paul shares with us. He says this, starting in chapter 2, verse 2. He says, I want them, speaking of all the other churches and our church currently, to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is in Christ Himself. And in Him, in Jesus, lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See, hope draws us to community. That's what Paul's sharing here. That hope should draw us into community. It should make us knit together in love with one another. Just before these verses, actually, Paul tells us in verse 1 of chapter 2 that he's in agony for us as the church. He's in agony for us and all of the believers. The person that we've never met, the person that we don't even know, says that he has this heartfelt conflict inside of him internally, and it's because he wants us to be encouraged and knit together in love. See, the hope we have in Jesus should compel us to share with others about Jesus. And then what it does is it brings us together in community with Jesus and with one another. And when we're knit together in community with one another, something happens. It helps us know Christ more. We experience him more and more as we together seek him. We learn more about the wisdom and knowledge that is contained in Jesus. We see more of his love. We hear stories of grace and transformation and mercy. And as our community gathered here together today and in St. John's, as we continue to share the good news of Jesus with those who haven't met him yet, we bring them in to this community. We bring them into the community of Jesus, where they experience more and more and more of him. And then they too are compelled to share and bring others in to the community. I'm really, really grateful for the community we have here at Grace Point. Andrea and I have received an outpouring of your love since moving here. I actually was thinking back on it. And since we moved here, September 27th, there has not been a single week where we haven't got a text or a phone call of encouragement from somebody, where we haven't received a letter in the mail, where we haven't received a gift, or somebody let us know, I'm praying for you guys today. You've embraced my family, and you've shared with us how much you love us, how you're encouraging us. My prayer is that it's not just for me and my family, though, but that everybody who walks through the doors of Grace Point here in Owosso, or Grace Point in St. John's, that they would experience that very embrace that you've given to me and my family. That they would feel the strong ties of love that are here and evident. I pray that we would be a community who prays for one another always, that helps each other out every day, that provides for one another, that encourages one another, and that is committed to growing together and being knit together with strong ties of love. Paul tells us why this matters so much. And he says that it's so that we won't be deceived. Why? Because there's a number of things that can deceive us in this world, but he says the reason community matters so much is so that you don't fade away from what you know is true. And so what are some of the things that may be deceiving us? Well, using the context clues, we can get an idea of what was deceiving the church there and what still deceives us here today. Maybe we believe that God's not for us. Or maybe we believe there isn't a plan that can deceive us. Or maybe we get deceived and think that we don't need to share with others, and we don't need to help others grow, that we don't have a purpose. Or maybe we can be deceived that we don't have to be bound together in love, that we don't need one another and we can live just fine on our own. Maybe we believe that we don't need that and we miss out on an opportunity to know more of Christ. But the truth is that when we're gathered together in community, when we invest in one another, when we invest in our church, when we spend time together, we're reminded of who Jesus is. how he's the source of our hope, and how ultimately we know that God actually is for us. We know that there is a plan, and it's reconciliation through a relationship with Jesus. We know that we do have a purpose, that we need to share with others, and we need to help others grow in their relationship with Jesus. We're meant to disciple each other and mentor one another. And when we're gathered together in community like we are, we know that we're bound together in love and that we do need one another. And we can't live just fine on our own. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we know that hope sustains. We can know that our hope sustains. Paul says these final words to them. He says, "And I rejoice that you are living as you should, and that your faith in Christ is strong." I love the word that he uses for strong here, because it's not simply about might or power. It's not about the ability to overpower somebody else, but it's this idea of steadfast. The word strong implies that there's something with a firm foundation, that something can rest on it firmly and solidly, that there's something stable and fortified, that it can bear up, it can even lift up, it can handle the weight, and it can supply what is needed, and it can give relief. And this is exactly what our faith, this is exactly what our hope in Jesus does for us. It allows us to simply rest firmly on it. It provides us with stability in life. Our hope can bear everything that we're going through. In fact, it can even lift us up. It can handle and supply all and anything that you need. Hope can give us relief. Now, I don't know about you, but this morning I'm really thankful that we got to hear Paul's side of this story. That we can know, we can rest, and we can find comfort in the fact that our hope is in Jesus, and that very hope sustains us. It brings us together as one community, and it gives us a purpose to share the good news of Jesus with all of those around us. I'm thankful that God desires to know us and desires for us to know him too. So this morning, as we close out our time together, it only feels fitting that we sing about Jesus and who he is. That Jesus is meant to be the cornerstone of our life, and that in him we can find all that we need. So this week, I wanted to leave you with just a few questions for you to think about. The first is that, who is it that you actually need to share the hope of Jesus with? Who's the one that you need to share Jesus with? You can begin by praying for them by name. Or maybe there's not a name that comes to mind. Maybe your prayer just says, "God, would you show me or tell me who the one person is that needs to know you?" Who is someone in our community? The second question is, who is someone in our community who you need to show love to this week? Or who's somebody in our community that you need to extend forgiveness to? And the last thing is, where do you need hope to sustain you? Where is it in your life that you need hope to sustain you this week? Would you pray with me? God, this morning we thank you for the gift that you've given us in Jesus. And how when our faith is in Jesus, when our hope is in Jesus, we can be sustained. Lord, this week, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you enable us to share the gospel and the good news of Jesus with somebody? God, would you allow us to be a community that is knit together in love? Jesus, would you move so powerfully in this place and remind us of who you are each and every day this week? And how when we put our hope in you, it's sustaining. No matter what we're facing, even if it feels like we're suffering, allow us to stand firm. Allow our faith to be strong in you. And Jesus, as we sing in just a moment, God, would it be true that you are the cornerstone of our life? That everything is built on you? That you are the foundation of everything? God, remind us of who you are. Remind us of the gift we have in Jesus this week. And God, would your hope sustain us this week? Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.